Hello, everyone, and welcome to War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. Come to you, as always, from deep within the Outer Rim, far beyond the watchful eyes of the Galactic Empire. Joining me today, as always, is my co-host,
Garrett K. Jones.
And Garrett, today is a very, very special day. It is our seven-year anniversary special, and joining us to celebrate, you know him. You tolerate him. It is the one, the only former co-host here at War of the Stars and the host of Star Wars Canon Podcast and a bunch of other things, Mr. Yeah. Brian Miller.
The only person that actually tolerates me is my wife, but I appreciate the sentiment. I really do. It's good to be here, man. Haven't talked in quite a while and glad to talk some Star Wars, right? Baby.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Yes.
Something new.
What's that?
I said something new and different for him.
I know.
I've never done this before.
It's like he's never talked Star Wars.
I know.
Never. Right? What is Star Wars? What are you talking about? I've never seen it. Is that the one with the Enterprise?
Oh.
No, it's the one with the TARDIS.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The TARDIS and Gandalf gets in the TARDIS and has to say the Firefly.
You don't use that word. Only they use that word.
Is that the one where they go to Hogwarts? Okay.
Yeah,
you have gotcha. To. Yeah, Camp Half Blood, I think.
Oh boy.
Oh well.
There's a special place in hell for people like me.
Of course, we are in the middle of our review of the final season of Bad Batch. If you're not aware, Brian.
Sweet.
So that's kind of what we're going to be doing tonight. We're going to be talking Bad Batch and just whatever else. Tickles our fancy.
Sweet.
In Star Wars. So, Garrett, why don't you start us off with kind of a recap of where we're at? Well, first of all, let's ask Brian here real quick. What have you thought about this season so far?
I really enjoyed this season a lot. First off, Bad Batch as a show by itself. I remember when the Bad Batch was introduced in that final season of Clone Wars, they did. I know that some people who weren't a huge fan of that arc and whatnot, my wife and I love that arc. We loved the Bad Batch. It was so much fun. I loved the characters. They felt, even though they're clones, like, you know, they've done a really good job of making each one feel like an individual personality and everything. And so we fell in love with them. And then when they announced they were doing the show, it was, oh, yes, they're doing a Bad Batch show. That's going to be so awesome. It's going to be that freaking A-team. And, you know, and so it's so cool. And so this last season has felt really fun. Crosshair is obviously one of my absolute favorite characters in the show from beginning to end. I will say this, though, like I didn't realize it until Thursday night after I had watched this last episode. I didn't realize we only had one episode left.
Yeah.
And so I was like, part of me had this thought of, it doesn't really feel like they're really building, because it felt like it was the middle of the season still to me. And so I was like, it doesn't feel like that last episode ended on like a to be concluded, you know, kind of moment. But I could be wrong. I can't wait to see what we get, to, you know, tomorrow for Bad Batch.
Well, so. I'm just wondering, like, how long is this last episode going to be?
Right.
Because we were talking about it last night on another show I was on. And one of the producers was like, this better not best be a 25-minute episode. Like, the first episode of the series was like over an hour long. Mm-hmm. This needs to be an hour-long episode. Like, an extra...
I would say at least 45 minutes.
Long, you know, just because, like you said, they need to wrap things up. I will say not this last episode, but especially the episode Juggernaut, we kind of felt like that kind of felt like an episode, like me and Garrett, that it could have been added to another episode. Like it felt, of all the episodes, that felt more like a filler episode, just kind of like, this could have been with, you know, you could have added this and another episode together to get one episode. And
well, the last four episodes, well, not counting episode 14, because Flash Strike seemed pretty interesting because that's where there was a lot of action that took place in it.
Yeah.
But Point of No Return, Juggernaut, and Into the Breach, and to an extent, not so much Identity Crisis, but like Point of No Return. No, I take that back. Point of No Return doesn't feel like a filler episode, but Juggernaut and Into the Breach definitely did.
Yeah.
Definitely good. Yeah. Oh, that, and I think the one with Fennec Shand, Bad Territory.
That one really did. I really feel like
yeah, because I mean, she yeah. unless she's gonna like, to me that was what like why bring in that character if you're not going to use her again,
right?
You know why do that? You know if you're just gonna be unless it's just like, hey, look, remember Fennec Shand?
Well, and the same thing for Asajj Ventress, we only saw her in that one episode, Harbinger. Right.
Yeah.
And even then, she's like, the title of Harbinger is even kind of a misnomer, because Harbinger usually indicates that there's some kind of warning of destruction or death or something like that. And she doesn't even do that.
Well, she let him know, if I could find you, the Empire's coming. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's true. But like I was saying, you know, if you're going to bring in these characters like Fennec Shand like that, and only use them once and not do a thing where, like, I was expecting, like, a team up. Like, when Omega gets captured, they go and they find, you know, hey, let's find this person. Let's go get this person. And then they all go in and, but so far the only person they got was Echo.
Mm-hmm.
Which, can we just talk really quickly with Echo in this episode? I thought he was hilarious with the getting the hand. Yeah.
I love Echo. It's like that whole thing with Echo just got more and more ridiculous. And I loved it. I was there for every second of it. When he puts the Stormtrooper armor on, my first thought was, well, where are his implants at? Like, you know, because his other helmet has got the cutout for his implants. Like, and so I was like, where are his implants? And you find out later he took them off. But I'm like, he's a Stormtrooper walking around with a scomp link for a hand. Nobody's going to notice that. Like, nobody's going to notice the scomp link. That's just like, and then as soon as he takes the droid out and looks down, he's like, And I'm like, no, he's not going to do it. And sure enough, I'm just like, Jesus.
And the thanks for the hand.
Yeah.
Line.
That's definitely an early Clone Wars joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I do want to say,
also, let's get right. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, the last couple of episodes, Echo has kind of been like the secret MVP of the team, because he's been able to do a lot of things behind the scenes and just make sure that they're not failing.
Yeah. He's taken over Tech's job.
He really has.
He's done that, which is the reason why I think it, like in season two, why it was kind of a smart idea of the show to kind of separate the two, because you have two people that are basically identical and can do the same exact things. And of course we saw what happened with Tech. Rest in peace, Tech.
Unless of course Tech is the operative.
I hope not.
No chance.
I hope not. Yeah.
I have my
theory of who I think it is.
I'm still holding to my theory that it's really Crosshair, and the Crosshair we've been dealing with is a clone of a clone,
and that's why he's shaky a copy of a copy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's Tech though, because he's way too good of a sniper to be able to. It's for it to be Tech,
and the voice. If you listen to the voice, it sounds like Crosshair. It sounds like Crosshair.
It really does.
And but, I said this last season. I told them, Tech needs to stay dead, because,
yeah,
otherwise it cheapens his sacrifice.
You bring him back, and that just ruins. Yep.
I completely agree with
just
you.
Just like it cheapened the victory. You know, at the end of Return of the Jedi, when somehow Palpatine returned.
God, don't get me started, man. This is going to turn into something bad. If you get me started on Rise of Skywalker, don't do it. You don't want to go down that rabbit hole. No, I do it. Let the hate flow through you. I'm good. No, I don't think they're even going to touch on who the operative is, honestly. I remember when Ahsoka came out and everybody was like, well, who's Merrick? We're going to find out who Merrick was. And then he was just a ball of gas. Remember that?
What the heck was that?
Yeah. And so I don't think I don't think we're going to even find out who the operative is. We have way too much other stuff to be wrapping up. Like the Zillow Beast is coming back into it, you know? So like our clone of the Zillow Beast is coming. So like they've got way too much more to wrap up instead of this operative. I think that's just me though.
I think you're right. But at the same time, who knows? We'll see what they do. We've got this next episode coming up, but Flash Strike, let's talk about that. So the synopsis for the episode was, as soon as the Bad Batch disengage from the main Imperial shuttle, Hemlock scrambles a team of fighters and begins firing the base's cannons. Their ship is eventually shot down, but not before everyone escapes via repelling cables, and Rampart unleashes a hilarious sounding scream.
Yes.
Honestly, I think this episode should have been the one called Into the Breach. And like Juggernaut and Into the Breach should have been like fused into one episode and just called
Into the Breach,
or should have just been called, you know, Infiltration. Or, well, we already had an episode called Infiltration. I don't know, something better than Juggernaut and Into the Breach, because none of it made sense.
I love, you know, the line from Hunter when they all land and they're like, Did Rampart make it? Unfortunately. Did Rampart? Unfortunately. I heard that.
I like how Rampart's become the butt of so many jokes.
He has. Like, what was said when he was in the background and he's not even on camera and you hear, he's like, you know, I can hear you, right?
Like, yeah, we know.
Show him on camera. He's like, yeah, we know. Like, it's just that, like, even the cameraman in the show isn't even showing Rampart. He's just like, shut up.
The funny part is like, for the most part, the only character on the Bad Batch in the team that had any kind of sense of humor has been Wrecker.
Yeah. You
know, Tech and Crosshair. I mean, Crosshair's really dry and cynical to begin with.
Yeah.
So you kind of get a sense of his type of humor, but Hunter and Tech never crack jokes. Now they're starting to crack jokes. They're starting to lighten up. Yeah. A part of me, like, the writer in me is saying this is really good character development because like they're facing the gallows. This is it. Like, we don't have any other encounter with the Bad Batch in any other media that takes place after, like, chronologically after these events. This could be it for them.
Yeah.
And so that would be interesting that maybe all their humor is coming out as gallows humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
That's a real thing too. Like, I mean, you remember, because we were talking before we started recording, the last time you and I, Garrett, saw each other on here was when you guys did the Veterans show.
Veterans and Star Wars.
Yeah. And that gallow humor, that is real. Like, if you're going outside the wire and you don't think you're coming back, that sense of humor is the only thing you got taking you out a lot of times. And so you're cracking dark jokes, you know, and you're just, hey, it is what it is. Let's do this, you know, and that's a real thing. So I like the fact that you brought that up and that you compared it to that, because that really is a real life thing that I think translates really well to a show like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially when, I mean, we're dealing with a group of characters who are veteran soldiers.
Yeah.
I think that offers, especially viewers like yourself who are veterans, it gives them an opportunity to connect with characters that they otherwise wouldn't connect with.
Yeah.
There's that camaraderie. There's that companionship that happens on the battlefield and nowhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. I also liked more and more this season. We saw it beginning last season too, but the humanization of Crosshair just becoming like he's becoming the star of this of the show. Like, this season has really like last season was Omega and Tech and their relationship. This one has been Omega and Crosshair.
Yeah.
And you really see that come where it was, you know, where he mentions to, I think it was Wrecker, she believed in me, she saved me, and I owe her.
Yeah.
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 Which is why I definitely, like, I don't know about you guys, I'm like sold. Crosshair's not making it out of this. I mean, if any of them survive, it's not going to be Crosshair. It's not. I think he's going to be the, if anybody's head is on the chopping block for this season or for this series, it's him. It almost has to be, considering he's had that continuous thread through the whole series. I think that just is the natural progression of his story of where he's going to have to end up getting to. It just seems like that's the direction they're going.
This is from a different show, but I saw a shirt. It's from Screen Crush. They have, it's the shirt. It's got Ahsoka on it. It's got the scene where she's looking at all the helmets of the, after the end of the last season of Clone Wars, and with the line, "Good soldiers follow orders." I'm like, oh, I want that.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Good soldiers follow orders. Yeah. What about, we talked a little bit about, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was going to bring up something completely.
Oh, I was going to say, where do we think they're going? Because Rampart is captured near the end of this. Where do you think they're going with that? Do you think that he's going to betray them? Or do you think that we're going to see a... closer to what we saw in Rebels with... I cannot think of his name now. The Imperial that turned coat.
Oh, Kallus. Agent Kallus.
Kallus. Do you think we're going to see that? Where... because he's been around them and he sees that, or do you think that he's an Imperial through and through?
I think I mentioned this in the last episode. I think one of the things that would be possible would be Hemlock using Rampart as kind of a Trojan horse. And here's why. Like, Hemlock is a guy that hedges his bets. He wants to be in control of things so much that he is in the midst of every little decision. He is micromanaging everything ad nauseum. And so when I see a character like that, my first thing is he's going to have contingencies for his contingencies.
Yeah.
As best as he can, because he doesn't want to be the guy that makes the mistake and gets the Emperor ticked off with him. He likes being in that position of power. He likes feeling like the smartest guy in the room. And I mean, you see that little bit of triumph when he got Rampart thrown in prison in the first place. So my thought on this is that I think that the version of Crosshair that we're seeing in this season is also a Trojan horse. Hence my thought that the operative is the real Crosshair, who's just been brainwashed. But in order to hedge his bets, to make sure that he could not only get Omega, but also eradicate the entire Bad Batch, he gave them the idea of getting Rampart, or he implanted the idea in Crosshair's brain to eventually go find Rampart, get him out of prison, and help, and you know, go through the process of finding Tantus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's convoluted, but it seems like something that Hemlock would do to really lock in his targets.
Yeah. The only way I could see any type of redemption at all for Rampart is a situation where, like, when they're escaping, that Omega saves his life or does something and makes it seem that, like, everyone deserves a second chance, you know, no matter what. And that kind of gets the ball rolling of, like, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, but again, I don't think we will. I think he is the main, you know, not the main bad guy, obviously, but I think he's.
You think he's slime? He's
in it for himself. I do.
Yeah.
Not quite as much slime as Hemlock.
Yeah.
Which, talk about on the nose naming.
I'm kind of curious. I'm like, really, Hemlock? That doesn't. we've had all these crazy wild names in the past, and the best we can come up with is Dr. Hemlock. Is he a James Bond villain? Come on.
Sounds like one, kind of.
Although I still got to give props.
I mean, have you seen him?
Yeah. I mean, but I've still got to give props to Jimmy Simpson for his portrayal. Like, he is nailing the character. Like, he is cold. He is calculating.
Yeah.
He is sinister in all the ways. And, like, and it's interesting. You look at some of Jimmy Simpson's other work, you know, from movies like Loser from, like, the early 2000s, where he's just playing, you know, some bored college guy just looking to, you know, roofie girls, to being the quirky serial killer expert in Psych. You know, he plays some very interesting characters. And, like, I mean, if you've seen the first season of Westworld on HBO, oh my gosh, some of his best work right there. And he's not even he's doing a full performance. He's not doing voice work like he's doing in this one. So
yeah,
Jimmy Simpson has been absolutely nailing the part of Hemlock, despite the goofy James Bondian villain name.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's going to eat it though in this season. He has to. He's got to eat it in this next episode.
What did you think of in that episode?
What?
What? Oh, sorry. Every once in a while you're cutting out, and yeah, kind of having a little technical difficulty, so we end up talking over each other, but it's fine. What did you think of, this is a few episodes back, so we're kind of catching up with where we've been, when they did the big reveal of the kids in the
in the vault. I liked that episode. Was that the one with Cad Bane when he went and got the other kid?
Yes.
I loved that episode.
That was so good.
I've got a special spot in my heart for Cad Bane anyway. I've always thought Boba Fett was very overrated. Cad Bane is where it's at. I love Cad Bane. And so when he popped up in this, like, I knew he was going to. He was in the trailer. And so I was just like, I want some Cad Bane, man. Bring it on. And seeing him going, you know, especially when they started talking about how certain bounty hunters, the high-level bounty hunters, were going after the midichlorian count targets. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was like, Cad Bane's got to be one of them. He has to be, you know? Yeah. And so I love that whole episode.
And I think he was the only, like, we talked about this too, he was the only bounty hunter of the bounty hunters that they could have brought in to do that.
Yeah.
Like, of the main canon. You know, you couldn't have brought in Boba Fett.
No.
I don't think he would have done, you know, Fennec Shand wouldn't have done it. You know, it had, Cad Bane was the only one that made sense.
Cad Bane and
Well, at this point, yeah. Boba Fett would still be, because, I mean, we're still early on into the existence of the Empire. He'd still be a kid, at least a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would he be the same age as Omega? Were they created at the exact same time, or was she created later?
Because she was created later, because, like, she obviously doesn't have the same accelerated growth that the other clones had.
Right.
That's for sure. But, like, I mean,
and she's got the 2X chromosomes. Yeah.
Considering the fact that she had, that, you know, we see Boba Fett as, like, at least an 8 to 10 year old kid in episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Clone Wars lasts for about 10 years. So he would have been 18, maybe 20, pushing it.
Clone Wars were only like 2 or 3 years.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the
You're right. You're right. So, okay. Then at the oldest, he would have been like 13 or 14.
13. Maybe. Yeah. And Aurra Sing was the one that was training him at that point.
Right.
So, yeah.
And he would have been running with her and Bosk and I think Dengar.
Yeah. 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 That sounds right.
Because we see that happening in the Clone Wars series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What do you think of Omega as a character, Brian?
I love Omega. I
do too.
It's different. And like, for And one of the things I saw online was, you know, when she first came out, how can there be a female clone? Well, she's first off genetically engineered. She is a genetically engineered being. And it wouldn't be that hard. You already, I mean, instead of the XY, just make it XX and you get a female. Like, it's not that hard. She's not the only one. You know, there's, I mean, Emery is a clone, you know, and she's obviously female. And like the Brotherhood novel with Anakin and Obi-Wan on Cata Nemoidia. There's a female clone in there, you know? And so, and there was even a mention of her in Queen's Hope, I believe, because I think it was like the immediate book after Brotherhood. Or maybe it was the other way around. Anyway, but there, I mean, there's female clones. It's, I don't have an issue with it, but I love Omega. Yeah.
And I love the fact that, like, I've seen when she first came out, where it was like, oh, it's another Mary Sue. It's another Mary.
Yeah.
Like, everything that they've done has made sense. Like,
right.
Like, as far as her training. She's got training. Like, she has already with just, you know, being the clone, you know, being a clone, she has, you know, especially if she is a Bad Batcher, that meant she would have had certain genetic things put in her to make her better. And like today's episode is a perfect example of that's something that only she could have done. None of the other Bad Batch could have been able to crawl through those. Tiny, which gave me
shoots.
That definitely gave me the greatest Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard vibes.
Oh God! Don't get me started on Die Hard as a Christmas movie. You guys are like poking the bear tonight. Rise of Skywalker, Die Hard Christmas movie. You guys are just trying, man. You're trying. But you're right. It did have that kind of vibe to it.
Die Hard 2 as a Christmas. Here we go.
Oh my God! No. No, no, no. Just because it happens at Christmas doesn't mean it's a Christmas movie. Ghostbusters 2 happens between Christmas and New Year's does not make it a Christmas New Year's movie. It just makes it a Ghostbusters movie. There, I've got to stop.
Little column A, little column B.
I have to stop. I got to stop. I got to stop. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Ooh.
Anyway. That I love that scene of her going through there, and then is she going to make it back? Is she going to make it back?
I felt like that scene could have used with a little bit more tension. But to be fair, as I was watching it, I was getting ready for work, and so there may have been something I may have missed. So, there is that.
I like how she like hacked the wall with a pencil too. I love that. Well, she's just like,
well, she wasn't like really Shawshank hacking it. What she was doing is
she was prying that panel off. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's pretty clever for a kid to do that. But I mean,
she's
again,
Shawshanking it. Yeah. No, you're right. I love her as a character. I think she's awesome. And what's cool is, you remember when Ahsoka came out? Like, originally, when we were first introduced to Ahsoka, everybody was like, she is the worst thing to ever happen to Star Wars. Remember that? And then everybody grew with her.
Yes.
And learned to love her. Now she's one of the favorite characters of all time. I feel like Dave Filoni did that on purpose with Ahsoka. I feel like that was, because he flat told Ashley Eckstein, nobody's going to like you. Nobody's going to like your character at the start. Just trust the process. Keep going with it. Don't give up. And look where it got her, right? So I think with Omega, I think they hit the ground running with her right off the rip and was like, and tried their best to make this a character that you're going to end up caring about by the end of the first season of the show. And I think they pulled it off pretty well.
Well, I think one of the things that helps is that the first season, you see Omega the same way as the Bad Batch do, as like this unnecessary tag along. She's just going to be a hindrance. Yeah. There's nothing good that's going to come from this because she's a kid. But as the series has progressed, each of the characters got closer and closer to her. I mean, obviously, Wrecker was the one who gravitated to her first because you know that's his nature. He's the big lovable puppy. You know, but what you were saying with Ahsoka when she was initially introduced in, what was it, 2008?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't necessarily have a problem with Ahsoka as a character. I thought she was obnoxious because she's a Padawan, she's a teenager, she thinks she knows everything, and I'm like, this is going to be a good foil for Anakin, who is the same freaking way.
Yeah.
Because I mean, think about how Anakin was written in Attack of the Clones. Nobody liked him.
Yeah.
The character was obnoxious, and I'm like, really? This is the guy that Padme is falling in love with? But then you look at how the character.
How did he score Natalie Portman? What the heck?
Right?
That's all it takes. I could have done that.
Just complain about sand?
Just complain about everything. Kill a bunch of people and their kids. Like, yeah, no, it'd be easy. That's all it took.
I'm having a flash of various memes popping up in my brain right now.
Red flags. Get your red flag. Have you guys seen that? It's the Lego episode one when Qui-Gon is getting ready to tell Anakin, you could be a Jedi. And in the background, Watto's like, red flags, get your red flags. And every time Qui-Gon says something to him, he's like, you're going to be a great Jedi. And he's like, giant red flags. I love it.
But like,
that's all I can think of now.
Yeah. But like, I mean, even Anakin had that progression through the Clone Wars, whether it's through the books, through the TV show, where you see him be a more competent character, so that by the time we rewatch, you know, Revenge of the Sith, you see where all those cracks are coming from, you see where all those faults are, but you also see the competency in the way he handles things and the things that have been pushing him closer and closer to the dark side. Mm-hmm. Ahsoka, like, she starts off in that same vein of being this very wooden, very obnoxious character, but the audience grows with her. And I think Omega falls in that same vein just in a shorter amount of time. Yeah. Although, you know, in 15 years, I don't think everyone's going to be clamoring for an Omega, probably series. Because she's a character that works well in concert with other characters, not standalone.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if I'd want to see an entire show with just Omega. I think Omega works with the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Like I love that scene when they're in the vault and they're hearing the
bombardment.
Yeah, from the laser cannons.
My brothers are coming.
And yeah. She makes the line as like, my brothers found.
Yeah. That's what it was. They found me. Like, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
My brothers.
Yeah. Brothers.
Which is funny. My daughter found out the other day that Omega is from the woman who does the voice of Omega is from New Zealand.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law lives in New Zealand. And she first thing she said is, oh, I wonder if she knows KK. I'm like, probably not.
That's highly unknown.
New Zealand's a much bigger country than you give it credit for.
Yeah. That would be like someone lives in California and being like, hey, maybe Garen knows them.
Hey, while you're
I've been asked that question. I lived in Japan for a year as an exchange student, and someone asked me where I was from. I told them I was from California, and they're like, oh, do you know the Backstreet Boys? And in English, I'm like, yeah, I know who the Backstreet Boys are. That's how we take it, is we take it to know we're familiar with. There's a she asked it as if I knew them personally. I'm like, personally. I've never met them. I've never seen them in concert.
I get the same thing here. Someone will ask me something about, tell them I'm from Illinois, and they're like, oh, is that near Chicago?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Relatively speaking, yes. It's
pretty close. Yeah, it's in the orbit.
Yes, relatively speaking, yes.
Yeah, it's throw a rock. Yeah. You might.
Or they'll ask me if I know someone from Chicago. I'm like, first of all, I don't live in Chicago. Second, Chicago is a big city.
Yeah.
Really big.
Oh, my God.
Now, anyway. What's really funny is when I tell people where I'm from in California, and they're like when I was in college, I was in Monterey Bay, and I'd tell people I'm from Hanford, and Hanford's this small cattle town from 40 minutes south of Fresno. And I would tell people in college, and they're like, you're from Connecticut? God, the out-of-state tuition must be killing you. I'm like, 3 hours away.
That's great. Oh, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, so nobody makes any jokes about me. They just make jokes about tornadoes and Oz. So,
do you have a dog named Toto?
No, but my wife did have a cat that she has a tattoo on her leg of Dorothy with a cop looking in her basket and Toto sitting next to her. It's an awesome tattoo, but she's really big. She had a cat that she was basically her Toto.
Yeah.
Do you have a droid named Toto?
Not yet. I'm gonna buy the Cad Bane hot toy that comes with Toto.
Nice.
And so I don't have him yet, but I will soon.
Nice.
I will. I love Toto.
I at least want to see like a self-generated meme where you take the statue to some other state. You say, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. In
Kansas. I could take him down to Oklahoma. It's like 2 miles that way. So I could totally do that. I could throw a rock and I could hit Oklahoma. So
nice.
We'll do it. No. You are now leaving Kansas. Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. I'm going to do it. Anymore. Now that you said that, I'm going to do it.
Please. Tag me on that.
Totally.
Well, we got to cut off topic here.
It's okay.
It's good. We're still talking Star Wars.
Yeah.
We're Star Wars adjacent.
I guess, yeah.
We're close enough to the orbit that a Death Star target.
Well, where are we? Going up.
So
this is true.
Yeah. So we've been talking about Bad Batch for a while, but it's also important to note that, as John mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this is our 7th anniversary. We've been doing the show. Well, I've been doing the show for less than 2 years, but John's been on the show for 7.
Yes.
And yes, so
seven years. Way back when. A little history lesson for those who don't know how this show got started. I was in a Facebook group. I don't know if you guys remember Collider.
I remember Collider, yeah.
Collider. And one of their Star Wars pages, and they're asking the question, you know, about who your favorite Star Wars podcaster or YouTuber is. And I remember the time I was really big on Theory, Star Wars Theory. That he had just started too. I think he just got his first 1,000 subscribers. Like, so this was early before he became too big for his britches. Let's be kind of honest. I still love Theory. No, but he has kind of got
Great kid, don't get cocky.
Yeah. A couple other names. I think I was also watching Hello Greedo, a few others. But I mentioned kind of in passing that I wanted to do I'd love to do a Star Wars podcast, but I had no idea. And I think it was probably just within a few minutes, I got a Facebook message from a guy named Christopher Stolle, and he offered me a spot. At the time, he was doing, I think he was just doing Breaking the Fourth Wall, and he offered me a spot to promote the show. And I told him, like, I have nothing to promote. I have nothing. And I just had a little cell phone, and one thing led to another, and that led into War of the Stars, the first episode of War of the Stars. And I believe you were part of it, Brian.
I think I'm not mistaken. Actually, I think I was on there. Yeah,
I think you were. Yeah, and you just kind of stuck around for a while.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've gone through a few other networks. We were part of Realm of the Mist for a while, and left to go on our own. And we're currently with Geek News Now, having a lot of fun there, and you know. One thing I've really appreciated with all of my co-hosts is there hasn't been a co-host that has left on bad terms. And I think for a show that's been around that long, to say that is something I'm very proud of. That I've tried my hardest not to burn any bridges. And if someone, you know, someone needs to, you know, is moving on, that it's all amicable. There's no love loss. And every person that has been on this show, no matter how long they've been on, is welcome back with open arms. I will say that right now. No love loss between anybody or anyone. It's always been so much fun having everyone on. We were going to try to get Will on. Unfortunately, Will had issues with work and was not able to be on here. We love having Darth Tuba on here. It's always fun to have him on. And what about you, Brian, what are just, do you have any memories of being a War of the Stars that you can share? Or
I remember. Okay. I remember you and I and Chris did an episode one time, and I remember that and forgive me, I don't remember what the main topic was supposed to be in the episode, but all I remember is that me and Chris basically hijacked your entire episode.
I remember,
and just kind of went completely off the rails and was just talking about everything else under the sun. And I remember that because I remember you titled it something along the lines of Brian and Chris just hijacked War of the Stars, or War of the Stars gets hijacked, or something along those lines. I remember that because such a fun episode. And Mark kept trying. He was like, well, anyway, and he would try to get us back on track. And we're like, no, screw you. And we would just keep talking about what we were talking about. I remember that. And then afterwards, I remember feeling so bad because I was just like, oh no, man, that was his show. Because we were so used to like just jumping into like breaking the fourth wall and just wherever it went. And I remember that episode, I was still very new to doing the YouTube stuff and the podcasting and stuff like that. And so I remember after that episode, I was like, oh man, I feel so bad because we just because especially when you named it, we hijacked your show. I was like, oh no. I was like, did we really do that? And so that was one of those learning moments, at least for me, as a personality on a podcast or on a show or anything like that. That was one of my learning moments that I used to better myself moving on, realizing when to take a step back when it's somebody else's show, you know what I mean? And let them kind of take control of it. So that was a huge learning moment for me. But I remember that episode because I remember how much fun it was at the time. It was a blast.
Yeah. Well, and that became kind of our thing of even the joke of here's our topic. We'll probably be on that topic for about
good luck staying on it
2 minutes. And then we'll be over here. Yeah. And then we'll be over here. And then we'll be over here.
So like the title of the episode was just the starting point of the episode, and where we're going to end up, we don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
We've had a few good guests on. I remember having, and I can't remember her name right now. The professor,
wrote
the book on Star Wars history. She was on a couple times. I've been trying to get her on. We had the guy who plays Nine Nub,
Mike Quinn.
He's been on. He was on.
He's awesome.
He was. I don't think we had him on. We were going to. I think you had him.
I know I had him on my show. I thought we'd had him on yours too. I know he did. He was on my 2 year anniversary show.
Yeah, we had again. My name, he did several extras. He played in episode 2, he played the king of the Nemoidians. Poggle.
Yeah.
And he was also
the Geonosians. Yeah.
Geonosians, Poggle the Lesser. He was also the body double. What's that?
When you're saying Poggle the Lesser, are you talking about the voice actor?
No, he was actually like in the costume or did like the
mocap.
The motion cap or something. But he did several others. He was also Obi-Wan's body double.
Nice.
Because they have a similar build. That was really fun. And of course we talked to Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Vaders. That was a lot of fun too. That was the one that I missed. So my co-host had to interview that, which I was really upset about. But yeah. What about you, Garrett? What are some of the 2 years you've been here? What are some memories that you've had of?
It's been kind of interesting for me because, like, I actually started off as a guest.
Yeah, you did.
I got kind of connected. We had a mutual connection through Joe Cahill, who runs Steamhouse Entertainment. I'm not entirely sure how that came about. Just, I guess, a conflagration of social circumstances, which is kind of nice. In July of 2022, I was invited to be on as a guest. Started talking about my books a little bit and talking about Star Wars. And one of my memories is getting a chance to kind of geek out because this is the first time that someone had been interested in my thoughts on Star Wars ever, at least someone who I hadn't either married or, played Star Wars RPG with in high school. Which now that I say that last part out loud, it tells you just how old I've gotten. It was great coming on here. And the fact that, it kind of turned into like an impromptu interview. Like a couple weeks after I was on, John issued me an invitation to come back as a guest host. And I'm like, I'll jump at that. Any chance to talk about Star Wars. And it actually, to be honest, kind of saved me because I don't mean to come off as a bit of a downer, but during 2021, 2022, I was going through the midst of a divorce, and my ex-wife and I, we had both been huge Star Wars fans to the point where our wedding was Star Wars themed. Not substantially, but there were some nice little highlight elements as far as like things that we did. For example, we did a Unity lightsaber instead of a candle or sand. Because nobody likes sand. It's rough and coarse and gets all over the place.
I knew you were going to say that. I love it.
But I had hit a point where I'm like, I don't think I can ever watch Star Wars again. Because it was so intrinsically tied to that relationship. And then John and Will invited me to come on as a guest and then as a host. And it reinvigorated that love for all things Star Wars. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you very much. It's been an honor to be a part of this for as long as you'll have me.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it will be here for a while. For me, I will admit there's been times where I've thought about quitting the show. I mean, there's been times when I look at, I'm like, we're not getting any plays. No one's listening to the show. Is anybody, and inevitably I'll get someone that will say, a message from somebody that will say, oh, I really like your show. Your show is really cool. Or something like that. And it's just like, okay, I can still do this. It's just the people out there, whether it's 20 people listening to an episode or 50 or whatever, every one of those people, that's why I do this is that maybe there'll be that one kid out there who listens to it and maybe it inspires him to do a podcast. It certainly inspired my daughter to do a YouTube show.
She's awesome, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Just saying.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
yes. Yes.
Yeah. Thing that I've appreciated about this is that it's just been fun to have different perspectives, different points of view, being able to joke around. And it's cool to meet people who have been a part of this, like getting to connect with you, Brian, and just, and whenever we've had Will on the show since his departure. It's just, it's so, it's fun.
Yeah. I want to cultivate a show where people aren't afraid to give their opinions and feel like they're, whether that be positive or negative, you know, I have the mindset of like what you like, don't be a dick. Yeah, sorry, pardon my French, but that's, you know, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if you love all the sequels or you hate all the sequels, you know, you're still a Star Wars fan. I hate that, and I've said this to Garrett before, I hate the term when someone says something such and such when it comes to a TV show is objectively bad, because everything is subjective, especially when it comes to taste. Like, for the, you can find, you know, 50 people who hated Last Jedi, and you can find 50 people who thought it was the greatest piece of cinema since, you know, and to say that either one is right or wrong, it's an opinion, you know, that's what it boils. And people may differ in their opinion. That's perfectly fine. As long as you're not hateful and putting the other person down because they have a different opinion of yours, of a TV show, of a movie or a TV show. It's just so, you know, that's why we end the show the way we do. It's not just my Star Wars, yours, it's ours. Because in the end, and did I ever tell you the story of how I actually, the idea that came up with? I think I've said this before, but I don't know if I've told you guys.
I don't think so.
So this was around the time when Rise of Skywalker was just getting ready to come out. And they were doing, the trailers were out, where all the first trailer had come out. And I'd watched the first trailer. And then I was watching some reaction videos to see. And there were these two kids, and they're probably 12 or 13 years old. Young kids watching it. And they were just wide-eyed. Like their eyes were like, oh my gosh, it's Rey. It's Finn. And then you see the scene where Lando shows up. And they're like, oh, who is that? And everyone in the comments was blasting them. Like, how do you not know who Lando Calrissian is? And I made the comment, I was like, guys, instead of blasting these two kids who are new to Star Wars, why don't us older fans come along and say, come along, young Padawan, let me tell you about the coolest man in the galaxy. Let me, you know, and I said, we become, like us, a lot of times as older fans become gatekeepers. And when something new comes out, it's just like, well, even like a show like, you know, Young Jedi, the young Jedi show, or Resistance, those aren't meant for us.
You know, it was weird because you say that, and like it took me for a while to get into a show like Resistance. Like I loved Rebels, I loved Clone Wars because they're part of that time period of Star Wars lore and canon that I just absolutely enjoyed, because that's what I grew up with. But looking at Resistance, while like some of it was a little goofier than it needed to be, I do understand that it was targeting a younger demographic.
Exactly.
And the Clone Wars had been, but I still found it enjoyable, and I watched through every single episode because it did a good job of filling in some gaps with the sequel trilogy that I think was lacking because of just weaknesses in the storytelling from guys like J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson, who either write out plot holes ad nauseum or, you know, are focusing more on spectacle than on story.
Yeah. And that's what I love about this show. We can get up and nobody's going to be like, rawr! How dare you? You're not a real Star Wars fan.
I love it when people lose their minds online. Like, look, I have my opinions about the sequels, right?
On both sides. Like, yeah.
you know, I have my opinions about the sequels. You know, I do. And
right.
I, you know, to me, that's just, that's my, you know, that's my opinion. Experience. That's, yeah, it's my opinion. Yeah. But I'm not going to put somebody else down for enjoying it. If anything, I'm jealous of the people who enjoy it because right. I wish I liked it as much as you did. I wish I got some more enjoyment out of episode 9 than what I did, you know? And so I'm jealous of you. And so I'm not going to put you down for that. I'm glad you love it, you know? And so
everybody likes different things. People who, and I'd say the same thing to people who love the sequel trilogy and who say, well, you have to love it because it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You don't. Yeah. It's your opinion. You know, if the only thing I've said this before, if the only thing that you've ever watched in Star Wars is the original trilogy, and that's the only thing you watch and that you watch that time and time again, you're a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
If the only thing you've ever watched is the prequels.
There's a book, and Mark, you know this.
But you love them. You're a Star Wars fan.
There's a book that's out. It was like the third canon novel released. I loathe that novel. I absolutely, and Mark, I despise that novel so much. If I was out of toilet paper, I wouldn't even use that book to do what I needed to do. I wouldn't even waste the paper to do it. Like, I hate that book, and it's Heir to the Jedi. I can't stand that novel. But that doesn't mean that I don't like Star Wars, you know? Yeah. Like, I still read
every single book. You just don't care for that story.
I couldn't stand that story. That or Alphabet Squadron, which turns a lot of heads. When I get online, I'm like, I didn't like Alphabet Squadron. Like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I'm like, I just couldn't get into it. Wasn't my thing.
You know, yes, I have not read any of those books.
Oh my gosh, dude, you're missing out on some good stuff. There's some really good stuff in there. There's some bad stuff. Don't get me wrong. There's some really, really bad books, but there are some really great ones too.
Most of the books that I've read that are Star Wars, I didn't read most of them. There's so much. So I didn't know where to start. And so when I picked up a book, it was because it was either something that really stood out to me about it, or because it hit me at a certain point. But like there was a book. What book was it? The first Star Wars book I ever really remember reading beyond like the kids picture book novelization, and that wasn't even really a novelization, it was just a picture book from the 80s of Return of the Jedi. But the first real novel that I read was Dark Force Rising by Timothy Zahn.
Oh, good book.
Great book. Yeah. And my grandfather, and the reason why I read it is because my grandfather knew that I was a big fan of Star Wars, and he gave me that copy. He didn't know that it was part of a trilogy. He just gave me the book. He thought I'd enjoy it. And you know, this is back in the day when, you know, the only time you'd get to see Star Wars on TV is if you either A, had the VHS tapes and your parents gave you access to the entertainment center, or it somehow popped up on some random cable network.
TBS usually.
Fox.
Or TNT now.
Yeah,
TNT, TBS, one of the two. It would randomly be on, usually during the holiday, because I remember a lot of times I'd be at my aunt's house on like a Thanksgiving or a Christmas, and there's Return of the Jedi. Okay.
Yep.
Well, see, like with the books now, like what I like about them is most of the time, there's nothing really like galaxy shattering in the books where you can watch the movies and still get what's going on. But there are a couple of times, and there's one book in particular. I totally recommend this book, Garrett. It's called Bloodline. A Legends book also called Bloodlines, but this is a canon novel, Bloodline. It's a Leia novel. It's like a political thriller. There's a huge galaxy-shattering moment in that book that is just huge. It's a huge spoiler, and it's like, whoa. And that is such an awesome book. And what there's a really cool part, and one of the things I appreciate, because Claudia Gray wrote that book, and like I said, I worship Claudia Gray. I love her as an author. But there's a point in there that she talks about. She gets deep with some of her writing because Leia is talking to another senator. I don't think they're on Hosnian Prime. They might be on Chandrilla. But she's talking to them. It's nighttime. The stars are out. And she points up, and she's pointing at a star, and she says, you see that star right there? That's Alderaan. And he's like, but I thought Alderaan was destroyed so many years ago. And she's like, it was. but we're so far away that you can still see the light of the planet. The light of the explosion hasn't gotten here yet. So the only way I actually, the further I get from where Alderaan was, the closer I feel to home. And like some of the deepness they get into those books is so, it's just so good and just mind blowing about how they put everything together. So I definitely recommend that book. If you're going to read anything, I definitely recommend Bloodline.
But the one that stood out for me, I mean, Shadows of the Empire was a big one, but one of the ones I really enjoyed was the annotated scripts for the original trilogy. And they had the scripts for all three of the original films annotated with the additional scenes that were put in for the special edition. So for those little changes, they did like in the margins, they had a side-by-side comparison of how the scene was supposed to be versus how the scene is now. And that was really cool for me.
That's cool.
So yeah, having access to that was a lot of fun.
I'll tell you one book that I really enjoyed. But the first Star Wars book I read was Heir to the Empire. That's kind of what made me that's what made me a Star Wars fan. Was like it took me from being like, oh, I watch the movies. Movies are cool. My cousin has some of the toys. They're cool. To I want to learn everything about this universe. I want to know every. What type of ship is that? Okay. That's like, at one point I could tell you everything there was about the X-Wing. Like I could tell you the type of hyperdrive engine it had, the company that made it, its history, how it originally started as an Imperial fighter. And then the Incom Corporation got bought, basically government buyout, and a bunch of them fled and took the plans to the rebellion of the ship. And it's even its forerunner, the Z-95, which we finally got to see in Clone Wars.
Yep.
Which is so cool. I love the Z-95.
Yep.
But another book that I really liked was Truce of Ikora. That was, and I, for the love of me, I keep, during the whole Legends timeline, and even into now, I'm like, bring back the Saruki. Bring them back, please. They were such a cool, so cool. The whole sticking people, almost Borg, like the way where they would like hook people up to their ships, and it was like, oh, it was just so creepy. Yeah. The only book that I didn't really care for of those early ones is maybe it was because it was too much of the love story was Courtship of Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Like, it was decent. Like I love, bringing, Corellia. I still was hoping whenever they during the Solo movie that we'd see Centerpoint Station, they would show the three planets and you'd see Centerpoint. That was kind of a disappointment in that movie. A few disappointments in that movie. I mean, I enjoyed it, but
yeah,
as I said before, it was the movie that didn't need to be made.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I think this, and tell me if you agree with this, Brian. I think Solo could have worked better as a series.
Absolutely.
100%. Like an adventure of the week.
100%.
An adventure of the week. And I even got the best way to end the series is the final episode is them in the cantina, and they're talking about this new, and Chewie comes back, and he's like, so what do you mean he wants to go to Alderaan? Like, okay, how much does he want?
How much have you been drinking, Han?
Yeah.
Did you lose another bet to Lando?
I think,
and like I said, you could just
that would have made an amazing adventure series.
You don't have to have a whole story arc. You can just do adventure of the week.
Yeah,
a Han Solo adventure
serial. Yeah,
you can each
in the vein of Young Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Which Harrison Ford cameoed in, by the way.
I know. Yeah,
I loved that episode. That was so cool. But which is that canon to Indy? Is that actually canon?
What's
that?
The Young Indy, the Chronicle.
Hold on. Young Indiana Jones? There is a. Let me find it because there's a video that I was watching. There's a channel called Secret Galaxy. They used to be called Toy Galaxy. and they had a video on young Indiana Jones, and I will send you the link.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Because I remember that episode where they had Harrison Ford cameo as older Indiana Jones in that series, and I loved it. I thought that was a really nice little touch. That whole episode was great.
They also did an episode, speaking, it's Star Wars adjacent, but they did an episode 7 months ago on the many nightmares of Captain EO.
Mm.
And how it was the stuff of nightmares.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, no, the Han Solo movie would have totally worked better as a series. Especially touching on the whole Crimson Dawn thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been the better bet.
I think the same thing with Lando.
Yeah.
Lando needs, and I think it needs to be Billy Dee Williams sitting telling stories, and then it goes to the flashback to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Well, hello. Whoa. What do we have here? Come listen. I got a story to tell, you know. Have a big old glass of some Colt 45. Let's go. Come on. You know, like we could, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Like, love it.
Oh.
Some like sexy Twi'lek walks up to the bar and he's like, "Hey, I got a story for you. Why don't you sit down for a minute, you know? Like, you want to hear how I became the Baron of Cloud City on Bespin?" Like, love it.
Yeah. Oh man.
That'd be so much fun. That would be so much fun. I'm going to tell you about this nerf herder I used to know named Han Solo. Rest in peace. You know?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I did like that. That was the one kind of joke that I did notice that I kind of liked in Solo was the Han versus Han.
Yeah, it's Han. Yeah, that's okay.
Like, he's like, Han is Han.
Okay, Han.
Han.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad they touched on that. The other thing I thought was a nice little touch too in Solo was when L337 is like having the calculations go through her head, and it's like the and it's the same sound the Falcon makes in the classic trilogy when it's trying to take. I thought that was a really nice touch too.
Yes.
Yeah. But,
and that's coming from somebody who was not a fan of L337
at all. I
couldn't stand her, but I thought that was a cool touch.
And the question is, what do L337 and Indiana Jones have in common?
Oh, it's her.
Yeah. Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. She's worked with both Han Solos now.
Yep, she has. I am not a fan of hers.
I'm not huge. I'm not a huge fan of her. I liked her better in Indy than I did in Solo.
She was insufferable in both.
She was, but if I had a gun to my head and I had to pick one to get rid of, it'd be L337.
That's fair.
Which indie movie was she in?
She was in the last one, Dial of Destiny. She was his goddaughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I created a distraction. Oh my god, just freaking powered down already. Like, Jesus. When she got blown up, I was like, okay, now this movie can get better. Here we go. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think this is a good place to wrap things up. Brian, thank you again for joining us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
7 years. Since you're the guest, Brian, why don't you do your shameless plugs?
Oh, my shameless plugs. All right. You guys can find me on my website, first off, StarWarsCanon.net. That's a website I've put together. The entire Legends timeline is there in chronological order. The entire canon timeline is there in chronological order, all broken down by eras now. You remember Disney came out and said these are the new eras with the logos. It's all broken down by that. You can go find that there. You can find my show there, the Star Wars Canon Podcast. We're getting ready. We've been on a bit of a hiatus recently. I've been busy with this next plug I'm going to be putting in. But we're going to be firing my show back up. My co-host, Yusuf Wally from Across the Pond in Cairo, Egypt, joins me each week, and we sit down and talk about some Star Wars canon, review some stuff and whatnot, take some mailbag questions. Right now, you guys can find me at StarWarsNewsNet.com on our YouTube channel. Each Thursday night, we go live about 9 o'clock Central. We talk for about an hour about whatever the news is. It's usually me and a couple of the guys from Star Wars News Net interact with the viewers a whole lot on there. And also on Monday nights at 7 Central, I've been dropping a show with Star Wars News Net with one of our co-hosts from there, Tyler Bradshaw. We do the Star Wars Timeline Show. So we started at the very beginning of the timeline with canon with a short story called The Queen's Bloom. It was in Tales of Light and Life. It's a High Republic story. And we are working our way through the entire timeline, one short story, one comic issue, one TV episode, one game, one movie, one book at a time. And so we are working our way through. We're almost, next week we're finally going to be out of the very first year recorded in Star Wars history as of now, 382 BBY. We're finally getting out of that year because all of Phase 2 happened during that year. It's ridiculous. It was a busy year for Star Wars. And we're finally getting into Phase 1. So definitely go over and check that out. And we've got some other shows in the pipeline also. I don't want to say anything about them just yet. They're not my babies. It wasn't my idea. Somebody else has got a really cool idea for some shows. And so those will be coming down the pipeline. So go over there, check that out, subscribe, tune in, and hang out with us talking some Star Wars.
Definitely. Garrett, what about you?
Well, you guys can find me on Instagram and X at GKJ_publishing, where I talk about my books, The Archives of Hsien Kran, although I haven't been talking about those a whole lot lately. I also have been talking hugely about two other projects that I work on. First is my YouTube channel. You can find me at youtube.com/C/GKJ Publishing, or just do a search for GKJ Publishing. I do a show called The Right Way, where we talk book recommendations, author interviews, and creative writing tips. Speaking of episodes on The Right Way, I just wrapped up my Author Awareness April Marathon. Each week, a new interviewee that just wrapped up this last Saturday. And in a week and a half, on the 11th, so the Saturday before Mother's Day, Mr. John Mark Tolley is actually going to be on my show as a guest host, providing his top 10 book recs. Excuse me. I had some sand fly into my throat.
Of course,
it gets everywhere.
Yeah, I knew. Oh my god,
that will never get old for me now. Thank you, Brian. the other project I've been working on vigorously for the last 3 months is a podcast that I do separate from War of the Stars called Storytellers. And season 5 just wrapped up today. Well, this is April 30th as I'm recording this. And so 15 episodes for season 5, all talking about dealing with divorce and the story that I have of going through that process. So if you heard my comments from earlier, there we go. It was fun. It was very cathartic for me to go through that. And the podcast, not the actual divorce part, because that sucks. I might wish that on Palpatine, not anybody else. That's where you guys can find me.
Yeah. Obviously, here, if you want to get a hold of us here, the best way to do that is through our email. That is warofthestars1@gmail.com. There's also, ironically enough, our handle on X at War of the Stars. All other social media, you can just search for War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. Check out our Facebook group, Instagram, all that stuff. Where else? I'm trying to remember. YouTube. Oh, YouTube, yes. At War of the Stars 9510, or just search for War of the Stars. Most what you can find on there right now is my other show. Quick plug for Star Wars Through the Eyes of a Child. Myself and my daughter Lily are going through the Star Wars, the Clone Wars, in chronological order. Because if you know anything about how they did the Clone Wars, you can't watch it in just the order that it was played in. It jumps all over the place.
At least until you get midway through season 3.
Yeah, right, I think season 2 or season 3.
It balances out pretty good. Yeah,
it balances out. But we're having a lot of fun doing that. And of course, don't forget we are a part of Geek News Now. Check out the Geek News Now official You have to put in that official, otherwise you'll get something else. Check out all the shows. Just yesterday I was part of MCU Mondays. They're talking X-Men 97, which if you are an X-Men fan and you're not watching X-Men 97,
you probably should be.
What are you doing with your life?
Oh, dude, it's been emotional, man.
Oh, don't even get me started. You know, and now anytime I hear the word "remember it," I'm just like, no, damn.
All the feels. Anyway. Thanks, Sean.
All the feels. Yes. Also check them out on Spotify. Not just our show, but all the different shows that are on there. If you want to support the show, a couple ways you can do that. Ko-fi.com/War of the Stars. You can donate there. It's really easy. We found this a lot easier than Patreon. It's just like getting us a cup of coffee. Or you can go to our Spreadshirt shop. Spreadshirt.com/shop/War of the Stars. And you can get cool merch like this. Or a coffee mug or a hat or whatever. So that is that. I believe that's all the plugs we got.
That's pretty much it at this point.
All right. Once again, thank Brian for joining us today. A lot of fun. Thank you to all the fans out there who have watched the show or listened to it or whatever. However you have absorbed our Star Wars nerdiness, we really appreciate it. And once again, as we always say, this is not just my Star Wars. This is not just your Star Wars. This is our Star Wars. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
Never tell me the odds.